Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thank you for joining us today for a bonus two-part follow-up episode of our series, Kids, Dating, and Marriage. Let's get started. So are we ready to jump in here and get going?
I think so. Do we need to do any little bit of review?
Well, I think not. For most folks, if you haven't listened to the first few, you should. Because what we talked about was how we helped our children navigate dating.
Yes.
And what we did that we felt like helped them, at least our older three so far, to get to the marriage altar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we talked about really the three overall standards. Some of you that have heard me preach for years remember that years ago I preached a teen sermon in which I preached about dating and how that the culture of dating is so negative and potentially unhelpful.
Right.
In the sense that, you know, couples, they pair off and the next thing you know, they don't even speak to each other anymore. And people take sides, you know, and it's just a crazy.
Well, it's hard on our children's hearts.
Yeah, it's just not the best. So we looked for something better than that is what we wanted, something different from that. So I came up with a little sermon outline, and we borrowed it for this session, this series. And so I would tell teenagers in my dating sermon, don't date, wait.
Right.
Meaning it's not wrong to date. It's not wrong necessarily to, you know, to be close to a guy or a girl or vice versa. But the whole point there was that wait to do the dating scenario, the seeking for a closer relationship with the opposite gender.
Right.
Wait on that until you're old enough to be married. So don't waste your teen years pairing off and having all the emotional issues that go along with the dating.
Don't make it casual.
And so we borrowed that one in our first one we talked to you about. We don't date, we wait.
Right.
And then my second point to the teenagers was don't date alone, take a chaperone.
And if you haven't heard that one, you should go back and listen to it. It sounds a little culturally weird.
Yeah, but we don't mean it to be. Right. We just mean that you want to be public.
Yes.
And in some situations, there should be always a very clear testimony of I'm not alone.
Always, yes.
And we'll even talk about that a little bit more today. But then the last one we talked about was don't act wed until I do's are said. And it doesn't mean that there can never be some affectionate displays or some even physical touch.
Right.
It's not the end of the world if a young man holds hands with his fiance or there's other displays of affection. But the point there is we need to be very wise that we are saving that which is unique to our wedding, to our marriage, that we're saving it for that.
Absolutely.
So that's where we were.
Talked a lot in those last, especially the last two points there, about Proverbs chapters 5 through 7.
Yes.
So we're going to revisit Proverbs 5 through 7. And as we're talking about the topic today, which is just preparing our children in a mindset of purity and a mindset of a pure testimony.
Sure. And so we're really, I guess if we title this this little addition here, we would call it Parenting That Overcomes the Cultural Norms.
There we go.
And that's been
that
kind of our
so
idea.
Much more succinct than what I was trying to get out there.
Yeah, but we need the details that comes with your thinking as well. And so if you joined us on our last session we did before we met with Matt and Kareth, we talked from Proverbs chapter 5 and 6 and 7, because in that chapter, Solomon challenges his son about purity in mind and body and testimony.
Right.
Mind, body, and testimony. And here's a couple of things, moms and dads, we wanted to point out to you. And I know many of you that listen to us are single. You're college age. We hear from you along the way.
Right.
And so we wanted to remind you that Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 are very powerful for you as well.
They are. Not just for college age, even just young adults.
Sure. And so this is worth thinking through. And here's what Solomon says. He tells his son in the fifth chapter that it takes wisdom, understanding, discretion, and knowledge to live a life of purity.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is that he says that wisdom, understanding, discretion, and knowledge comes from mom and dad. And that's what got us thinking about this, because moms and dads, sometimes we think like this, oh, well, you know, they're 16.
Right.
You know, well, now they're in college.
They're 21.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
You know, it's their life. But Solomon is saying, no, wisdom, understanding, discretion, and knowledge comes through the helpful input, the proactivity of moms and dads.
Yes.
And he reminds his son of that. And then he says to him, after he reminds him of what he needs there, of wisdom, understanding, discretion, and knowledge.
I want to just take just a break here and ask parents if they have little ones around, maybe to put in their earbuds, or we are going to be frank in this session, and I forgot to say that at the beginning.
Not deeply frank,
but if you feel a little uncomfortable with it, you could just wait till nap time or put in those earbuds.
In Proverbs 5, he says to his son to stay away from sexual sin and not even to go near it.
Right.
But then he also reminds him a little bit later in that passage that sexuality is not anti-God, anti-fun, anti-enjoyable, because he says in Proverbs 5, 18 and 19, don't forget that marriage and that married sexuality is better than all the sexuality of the world of impurity.
Right.
And so he reminds his kids of that. It's interesting, moms and dads, the point we want to make to you is that there's a lot that goes into the dating relationship, the preparation for marriage.
Right.
Solomon is telling us here, we have got to be the ones to help our children.
Right. We need to be the ones that set the tone.
Yes.
For how they are going to act around the opposite sex, what they're going to feel comfortable with. If we put within them a biblical mindset, if it's in their hearts, if you teach them from Proverbs 5 through 7, for instance, about purity and about staying away from even the appearance of evil, then when they are older, say college age or even graduated from college, there will come a time where they will hear a cultural norm, and we're going to talk about what some of those cultural norms are, and they will reject it because they already know what the Bible says.
Yes, and that's why you and me as parents have got to be involved in this process.
Right.
So many times young people in college or even in high school will say, well, mom and dad haven't said anything to me about that.
Yeah.
And moms and dads, I say this as gently as I know how, that's a failure on our part.
It is. And I'll just interject here, too, that even kids who are doing right and keeping themselves pure and clean and have a great testimony will come to the marriage altar and they will say, our parents haven't talked to us about that. They don't even have a wonderful biblical view of the married intimate life.
They don't have a sacred expectation.
Right.
And many times what they do know is unclear and unwise and ungodly.
Right. Or scary.
Or scary, for sure.
Yeah.
And one of the things I would say to you that are listening, that are single, that are young adults, remember that Solomon is reminding his son, you need wisdom that comes from elders.
Yes.
And in this case, the parents.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to work on building a relationship with your mom and dad to where you can ask these kind of questions.
Absolutely.
And moms and dads, as a side to that, when your teenager or your preteen or your young adult comes to you, you should have an answer.
Yes.
And you should be ready. And if you can't answer right off the top of your head, say, let me think about that and I'll get back
with
you.
We'll get together.
So it's not wrong. Mm-hmm. So in Proverbs chapter 6, he does the same thing in verses 20 through 23. He says to his son, you got to keep your daddy's commandments and don't forsake the law of your mother.
Right.
Bind them on your heart, tie them about your neck, because the command is a lamp and the law is light. The point there being, it shows us the path of life and the darkness of this world. Uh-huh. And he says, the reason I'm telling you this, the reason you need this is it will keep you from the evil woman, from adultery and fornication.
Yeah. So all of that input that the parents were giving in the proverb was to keep their children pure.
Absolutely. And then he does it again in chapter 7.
Right.
My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee, keep my commandments and live, and keep my law as the apple of thine eye. Delight in this, because I'm trying to help you get through this relational situation to where you can get to a happy marriage.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he reminds him in chapter 7, verse 4, to seek wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then he simply says, that it may keep thee from the strange woman.
Yes.
And so what we would want to say to you, our friends, is simply this. Purity is always biblical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And even in this dark world, even when anything goes, even when you can have 200 channels of adultery.
Yes.
And it's not always open. I don't, you know, most of you probably wouldn't watch, you know, a wicked, godless.
Right. We probably are not speaking to people who let just whatever come into their home.
We can chuckle at things that are inappropriate. We can. Mm-hmm. It's easy to drop the ball and get careless. And one of the things that Bethany and I have noticed is that purity quite often seems antiquated culturally.
Right. Yes.
It seems like, oh my word, are you people serious about that?
Right. And just in our conversations with young adults, and I'm any of you young adults that we know that are friends of ours, I'm not thinking of any of you specifically. I just, talking to young adults as we're on the road, there are so many that are swallowing the cultural lie that intimacy and being open with your relationships or things like that is just fine. There's nothing wrong with it, and that a biblical perspective would be antiquated and Victorian.
Yeah, and so even the question comes up about, you know, that's old school, and it's not that big a deal.
Right.
And so we want to address that. So really three questions here
yes.
for you today that we want to answer and talk about. And here's the first one, all right?
Okay.
Talk a little bit there, sweetheart, about how cultural norms seep into our lives as believers.
Yes. Well, okay. One of the first ways, and we just addressed this a little bit, but television, movies, books, or even some friendships, yes. People can talk about or even talk about on television and within a movie, a cultural norm of a life of impurity or a life of adultery or a life of fornication. And our children, if they get a steady diet of that, they can swallow that. Well, it's totally fine. It's totally fine for me to be all over my boyfriend. It's totally fine for my boyfriend to be all over me and whatever. And we even have to be careful of that. We are careful about what we watch. And we even use VidAngel. I think we've talked about that before on the program, but Charity and I were watching some episodes of something and David and I talked about later how that, you know, we could set the filters as high as we want to set, but there was still some inappropriate joking that went on this show. And so we just decided we're not going to watch that anymore because we have a 12-year-old in our home and she doesn't need to hear, even at this point where she didn't
doesn't
get
even
the
understand
joke.
Right. Right. Now, but those innuendos are lodging in her mind and someday she will understand and make that connection.
Yes. And we want to be very careful to keep her heart and her mind very pure.
Yeah. So the television and friendships and all of that can bring in a lighthearted joking about adultery or fornication or self-gratification or whatever.
Aren't they very sweet? They live together on this movie and it's just a sweet thing.
And they're moving in together.
Right.
And so it becomes a cultural norm that if we're not careful, we begin to think, you know, it's not that big a deal. Yeah. And so there's one way. You have been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thanks for joining us today for our bonus conversation regarding our previous series entitled Kids, Dating, and Marriage. Our next episode will complete this two-part bonus conversation. Remember now to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.